Old Testament Basics, Lesson 3, Color Books, Wisdom Poetry Books, and Prophetic Books. In Lesson 2, we looked at the Old Testament's main storyline and focused on the 11 books from Genesis to Nehemiah that tell the Old Testament story. In doing so, we got the big picture of the Old Testament history, but we also left out a lot of detail. In this lesson, we're going to add some of that detail into the story, and we do that by plugging in what we call the color books. You'll recall that the color books stop the forward movement of the story and provide still shots that add more details to the story told in the time books. We're also going to see where Israel's poetry and wisdom books fit into the story. It's important to know what books are included and when they were written. And then we'll plug in the prophets and see when they lived and ministered. We need that historical background so we can more clearly understand their prophetic messages. Because we went through the Old Testament's storybook in our previous lesson, we can now place the rest of the books into the narrative and see how they contribute to the story. We'll survey the color books first. We begin with the book of Job because Job was a contemporary of Abraham and chronologically is the first of the color books. So when you think of Abraham's story in Genesis 12, that's where Job fits into the timeline. But since Job doesn't move the biblical storyline forward, we include it with the color books. Job's book wrestles with a difficult question of why good people suffer. He didn't have the Old Testament law to guide him when he lived hundreds of years before Moses' time. That's important to understand when you read his story, because Job's view of God was not based on the kind of knowledge people had after God gave Moses the law. Yet he worshiped God faithfully. His book gives us additional insight into life in Abraham's time, and we integrate his story with Abraham's. The second color book is Leviticus. Notice the first four letters in the book's name, and you get a clue about its content. Levi was the tribe God appointed to serve the priestly functions in the tabernacle, and so this book that outlines all of Israel's religious practices is appropriately named Leviticus. The book explains in detail how the priests conducted Israel's religious life at the tabernacle. So we place Leviticus next to the book of Exodus. When you think of Mount Sinai and the Ten Commandments and God's law, that's where the book of Leviticus belongs. Deuteronomy is the third color book. Like Job and Leviticus, it doesn't move the history forward, but it brings great insight into a particular period in Israel's history. Deuteronomy fits between the book of Numbers, which records Israel's wandering in the wilderness, and the book of Joshua, which tells us about Israel's conquest of Canaan. In Deuteronomy, Moses reissued the law that he gave Israel at Sinai. Remember that the people who were going into Canaan were not the same people who came out of Egypt. There was a 40-year gap between the end of Exodus and the beginning of Joshua. Moses made sure this generation knew their lives were to be governed by God's law. So Deuteronomy fits into the narrative between Numbers and Joshua. The next color book occurs almost a century after Deuteronomy. The book of Lamentations fits into the sad story at the end of 2 Kings. Jerusalem had been destroyed, and Jeremiah's lament over his people's disobedience and its consequences are recorded in this book. Jerusalem's destruction was a tragic reality, and this book records the lament of a broken-hearted prophet. So when you read Lamentations, envision a destroyed Jerusalem, and when you read the end of 2 Kings, envision Lamentations. Esther's story occurred during the time recorded in Ezra and adds an important dimension to the period of Israel's Reconstruction era. 70 years after the Babylonians conquered Judah, the Persians released the Jews from exile and many of them returned to Jerusalem. Ezra's book tells us what life was like in Jerusalem when the Jews rebuilt the temple, but Esther tells us the story of the people who chose to stay in Persia. Her story tells us what life was like for the Jews who didn't return and teaches us that God cares for his people wherever they are. First and Second Chronicles fit historically with Ezra and Nehemiah at the end of the Old Testament era. They focus on the kings in David's dynasty and on Solomon's temple. But the book's purpose is to show Judah's situation 600 years after David and Solomon lived. After the 70 years of enslavement by the Babylonians, Judah's people were back in their land, but they were still ruled by the Persians. Their reconstructed temple was a poor replica of Solomon's magnificent structure. Local enemies plagued them, and the sin that had led to their destruction was creeping back into their daily life. The chronicler wrote his books to assure Judah's people that in spite of appearances, God had not abandoned them. His covenants with Abraham, Moses, and especially David were still valid, and they should not abandon their messianic hope. Their true leader was not a Persian conqueror, it was God. He was the King of Kings. But God's word reminded them that his blessings were not automatic. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. God had not abandoned Israel, but their entire history, as recorded in the Chronicles, reminded them that their well-being was based on obedience to what God had taught them in the law and the prophets. So, those are the color books, and we plug them into their historical setting to give us additional insight into Israel's history as it's recorded in the time books. Now we look at two more categories of books, Israel's poetry and wisdom literature, and her prophetic books. Israel's poetry and wisdom literature was created over many centuries by various authors. Moses wrote Psalm 90, the earliest psalm. The latest psalm was Psalm 137, composed during the Babylonian captivity. We'll study these books of Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, and Ecclesiastes in Lesson 8. Our purpose in this lesson is to see how these books contribute to the Old Testament story. This literature made an enormous contribution to Israel's worship and education throughout her history and doesn't belong to any specific era. Because most of it is associated with David and Solomon, we usually integrate these books into their historical period. The 16 writing prophets span Israel's history from the division of the kingdom, recorded in 1 Kings 12, through the end of the Old Testament, recorded in Nehemiah. These 16 represent many other prophets who ministered in Israel, but their prophetic declarations were not collected into separate books. Elijah and Elisha, for instance, were two of Israel's most famous prophets, but there are no prophetic books named for them. 12 of the prophets ministered during the divided kingdom recorded in 1 Kings 12 through the end of 2 Kings. One of these 12, Ezekiel, continued his ministry into the exile period. Daniel's prophetic ministry also occurred during the exile, and three of them, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, prophesied during the reconstruction period. We'll study the prophets in detail in Lesson 10. Their efforts to encourage Israel and Judah to follow God's teaching met with mixed results, but as the tragic story of their times unfold, we see that the prophets were most often ignored while Israel and Judah moved toward their disastrous destruction. So that's the Old Testament. The 11 chronology books tell the story. We plug in the color books to give us an expanded view of what was going on during some of those historical periods. Israel's poetry and wisdom was written and preserved throughout her history and as part of her cultural and religious practice. The prophets began ministering when Israel's kingdom split into two nations of Israel and Judah and continued through the end of the Old Testament. When you put all these books together, what do you have? As a unit, what are they all about? The Old Testament is about the fact that God created us in His own image so we can enjoy an intimate relationship with Him. Tragically, the sin that was introduced in Genesis 3 plagued God's people all the way through the Old Testament story, and it still plagues us today. But human failure is not the main theme of the story. What God tells us in the Old Testament is that even though we fail, we serve a gracious God who says, "Come back to me, and I will forgive you. I will welcome you. I didn't create you for hostility, but for love and for a relationship." If we don't learn that when we read the Old Testament, then we've really missed the point of it all.